Hi guys, just a reminder that this podcast, as well as many of my online resources, is delivered freely. If you would like to help me get this message of healing out to millions of people around the world, please consider clicking on the donate button on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Thank you. Hello, everybody. How are you today? This is Nicole Sachs, and you have reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain. Welcome to it. Here we are. So today, I have a really awesome interview. Right now, as we sit here, it is late at night for me because I had the pleasure of talking to Shelley, who is across the entire world in Australia. And when I talk to people in Australia, most likely I am sitting here at the in the very late hours of the night and they're sitting there in the morning. And so it's just so fantastic. I love it. I think it's so awesome that we can do stuff like that. So I just finished talking to Shelley. It was so wonderful. She has every diagnosis under the sun that she lived through, and some of them incredibly excruciating, like post-viral neuralgia. Myalgia. I always hear of neuralgia, but I hadn't heard of myalgia. And anxiety and depression and plantar fasciitis and vertigo and tinnitus and shoulder pain and others. She really, really went through it and also had a lot of life stressors. And through all of it, she managed to find my work and Dr. Sarno's work and Curable, and she managed to get herself totally well. And it's just an amazing story. So I'm so glad I got a chance to talk to her. So I'm happy to share that with you guys. I also wanted to mention a couple of things because I've been getting a lot of questions about my virtual mini retreats. They are now available for sale on my website. So, there are three different virtual mini retreats, and you can go look them up under the retreats tab. It will be my live retreats, and then it will be the virtual retreat recording. So people are asking me about those. Please check them out at my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Very soon, in the next couple of weeks, I will be announcing more virtual retreats that you can attend live on Zoom and more in-person retreats that you can attend live as a human being in a room with other human beings. So all of that coming up soon. But in the meantime, enjoy this wonderful conversation between myself and Shelley, her incredible story, her incredible recovery, and a lot of great, great advice. All right. Until then, I will see you next time. Enjoy the conversation. So hi, everybody. I am here with Shelley all the way from Australia. Welcome, Shelley.
Thank you. Great to be here.
I think it's so cool when I talk to people from literally across the entire world. You know, it just makes me so excited about technology. So anyway, Shelley had written a post in my Facebook group a while back, and I was just really taken by her recovery and by the way she discussed her mindset and the way she had moved through her recovery journey. And so I asked her to tell her story, and she was kind enough to come on the podcast. So Shelley, I would love for you to share with everybody, however you'd like to do it, what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now.
Okay. Well, I'd always had, when I look back now after reading, you know, journal speak and learning about chronic pain, when I look back now over my life, I can see that I've always had TMS, probably since I was about 12 or 16, something like that. And I just didn't ever realize the connection. And it wasn't until I became completely debilitated after a simple virus, and I literally could not move, like I was in agony and I had to drive straight to my doctor. Basically I was completely debilitated, and that's when my journey began learning about chronic pain. So in November 2019, I was working as a bookkeeper, but also working in my other job as a nutritionist and meditation teacher, and I took two ladies on a private meditation retreat by the ocean. And we were eating healthy meals and doing meditations each day and going for beach walks and swims. And I was living my life that, you know, I'd always dreamed about. I was moving away from my accounting type job and doing more retreats and things like that and loving it. And I just had this mild headache. It was just a mild headache, dull headache that had been going on for 2 weeks. And I felt like I was coming down with something, but I was running this retreat. So I just had to keep going, and we were hiking during the day. And it was a really lovely weekend. Anyway, the women left after 3 days, and I thought, oh no, I'm definitely coming down with something. I'm going to go to bed early. And that night I woke up with a fever. All I had was really a fever and a sore throat, and I had to get up and take some paracetamol. And when I went to get up the next morning, I was in pain in every part of my body. Like, I could barely roll over to get out of the bed. Every part of my torso, my stomach, my shoulders, my back, to sit up was a huge effort. And when I got onto my feet, I had to basically walk on the sides of my feet to get to the bathroom. I felt suddenly 100 years old. Now, I was at that stage 56. I'd been training with weights 2 days a week. I went for big coastal walks and beach walks every single day of my life. I was super healthy, really fit. Are you there?
Oh, yes. Go on. I'm just listening. I'm like rapt. because this is such an interesting story, because I know the diagnosis began post-viral neuralgia. Is that what it was?
Yeah, post-viral myalgia. And I packed up when the girls left, and I went straight home and straight to the doctor. I didn't even empty the car. I went straight to the doctor's surgery. I said, something is seriously wrong. I've never been in this amount of pain in my life. Like, just to brush hair from my forehead, to brush my fringe away, was extreme agony right through my arms and into my fingers, like unbearable. And anyway, he did some blood tests and rang me the next morning and said, oh, I've got serious problems. Your liver's failing. He said, have you taken any unusual supplements? Have you bought any new supplements? And I said, well, actually, I had bought a new supplement for chronic pain, and I also take fish oil. He said, was that a new batch? And I said, yes. He said, stop taking everything. Have you been taking paracetamol? I said, yes, because I've had mild shoulder pain, but I do weight, so I thought it was just that. He said, stop taking everything. We've got a serious problem. So I went through enormous amount of tests. I had to have blood tests twice a week. My doctor looked very, very concerned. He sent me to a liver specialist. He sent me to a rheumatologist. And over the next few months, I had MRIs. They were searching in case I had cancer, because basically I'd never really gone to the doctor much at all.
Right.
And the only medicine or medication I was taking was HRT, which they'd given me for, when I look back, was probably another TMS thing that I'd ignored. So basically when I got to the rheumatologist, which took a few months to see him, or maybe 8 weeks, he said, look, by this time it was like March 2020, and he said, COVID's on its way.
Right.
So I could give you a drug straight away that I think would take away all your pain, but it will dumb down your immune system. And he said, we don't want to do that
at this time,
a pandemic on the way. So he said, can you get out of bed every day? And I said, well, I'm here. I'm in your office. I'm driving a car. And he said, well, if you can manage to do that, just keep going and don't take anything. And even though, you know, normally I would think, great, I don't need to take anything, I was just at that point, after being in so much pain then for 3 months, I just went down into my car and cried my eyes out. I just thought, no one is helping me. I'm in so much pain. And I lived alone. So I did say to him, because I'd been a meditation teacher since 2009, I did say, look, do you think this could be stress related? I said, I've just broken up my engagement, and I've asked my fiance to move out, and I've been very, very stressed, and my father is very sick and, you know, looks like he's going to die very soon, and I've been caring for him. And when I started to add up everything, I could see the amount of stress that was going on in my life. And he said, yes, we do believe that this is connected to your nervous system. But he didn't give me any help or any process. Yeah.
That's the problem usually. Heal. They'll say, they might say that stress is involved, but then they just say, oh, well. So that's the biggest problem. Yeah.
Yeah. And I felt very alone. Like if you've got cancer, they say, well, just follow this process and you've got to see this person next. And I was just left with it. And interestingly, at the same time, my son, who suffered with chronic pain from the age of 18 due to a pelvic issue from a football injury, he was already attending the Prince of Wales chronic pain clinic at our major hospital. So I came home and asked him the names of the books he was told to read, and I just started reading those books. So they included The Divided Mind by John Sarno, mm-hmm. The Body Keeps the Score.
I love those
another
books.
One by Clark Schubiner called Psychophysiologic Disorders. That was a little bit harder to read. The Last Best Cure and Manage Your Pain by Nicholas Malloy, Tonkin and Beeston. And I just started reading those books. And then through those books, I found your Facebook page, and I also downloaded the Curable app. And from that point on, I began to heal.
Well, I love – okay, so let's go back to the beginning for a second, because I love to hear the way people evolve their journey. So you got a virus. You know, this is a big thing that people don't understand about my work sometimes is like, but Nicole, she got a virus. She had a virus. And yes, you did. You caught a virus. And one of the things that people get confused about, especially with viruses, is how can they become chronic? And the reason that a virus can become chronic is the same reason that a person can say to me, you know, it's the craziest thing, Nicole. I bent over to pick up my kids' toys the same way I pick up my kids' toys every day. And this time I bent over and my back went out and I haven't been able to walk for 6 months. The same thing happens with a virus. If your reservoir of rage and shame and sadness and fear and guilt and all the things that we talk about is up to maximum density, all that has to happen is a system has to become inflamed in your body. In this case, you got a virus. And because your body was at this place where it needed a place to sort of unload all of these extra repressed emotions and all of this high stress, it went there. It's sort of arbitrary where TMS shows up in people. So was that something you ever made the connection with?
Well, when I started to read all the books, I sat down and wrote about all the stress that I'd had to deal with that I'd been stuffing down. And then it was very evident. But also when the pain started, I knew I was terrified. I was absolutely terrified. It was so intense, the pain. I'd never experienced pain like it right through my body. I thought, this is something very serious. And that made me more frightened. And the more frightened I became, the worse the pain got. So after I'd read the books, I started to see the connection. But I sat down. I'd had a horrific relationship with my 23 relationship with my first husband, with my ex-husband. And I'd become a single mother to raise my teenage children. And I knew that that had caused a lot of problems with my nervous system. I'd been treated for anxiety and depression in my late 30s. But I, for some reason, I felt that I'd dealt with all that. I'd been to a therapist when I was 38, and I just felt that it was out. But
right.
I don't think it was, and I had to dig a lot deeper into that and release a lot more of that pain through the journaling. But I'd also, when I sat there and thought about it, I'd been at a working for an accounting firm for 9.5 years, and we all went to work one day and were told when I was like 54, so 4 years ago now, oh, sorry, don't come to work anymore. We've sold the business and no one has a job. And when you're a single mum and you've always been a single mum and you don't have a partner, that is so frightening to be told, sorry, just you don't have an income. And I'd always been doing my nutrition and meditation as a bit of a side gig. It had never been my main income. So, you know, I remember getting on the bus and crying all the way home. And then I was good in a way because it kickstarted me. I had to move full-time pretty much into my nutrition and meditation business from there. So it sort of did me a favor. But my father was also dying very slowly from Alzheimer's, and my mother asked if I could go and run their business, but also to help look after my dad 2 days a week so that she could have a break and, you know, go out with her friends. And so I'd been doing that, and then I had to break off the relationship. With my fiance, because I realized he was lying told me he had permanent residency in Australia, and he'd been living with me for 2 years in my home, and we got pulled up in an airport and they weren't going to let him back into the country, and it became very evident that he just wanted to get married for residency reasons. So that was very emotional for me, and literally when I broke off that relationship, my hair went gray. And from that moment, the chronic pain began. It began in my shoulders, and I was just taking Panadol and probably I'd say the pain began then, but I didn't really recognize it at all as being connected. And I'd had tinnitus, like all these TMS things, tinnitus and vertigo since my divorce. So I'd been putting up with that for years. That had also been diagnosed as BPPV, being benign paroxysmal,
positional. Oh, I don't even know that one.
Vertigo. So there was a reason. It was the crystals moving in my ear and affecting my balance. But that has almost completely gone away by doing this work. So even though that's got a practical, medical, physical reason, it's definitely connected to my nervous system as well.
Well, absolutely. And also a lot of things have a practical medical reason. I have spondylolisthesis so badly in my back that it makes orthopedic surgeons go pale. And I have had no back pain for 17 years since doing this work. So I think we have to be very curious. Let's say the word is curious about anything that we're diagnosed with, because doctors, I believe, mean us well and are not looking to do any harm. But I think sometimes it's good to pause and to be curious about what these diagnoses even really mean. So anyway, okay. So you started when you were 12, but then really you started with the shoulder pain, but then really you started with the post-viral myalgia. The reason I want to say this is because oftentimes what people will recount when they're looking in the rearview mirror of this work is that their body whispered to them for a really long time, and because they didn't know how to properly hear, their body had to shout. Would you agree with that? Yeah.
Definitely. And now I really talk to my brain. I've sort of pulled on all different areas that I could, like Dan Buglio that does the YouTube
Pain for
thing.
You. Yeah.
Pain for You. I use his talk to your brain method, and I did particularly when the pain was extreme. And I found all of these things together were really working. And so I still do that every now and then. If I get up and I have a day where I feel very achy and I feel like my brain's trying to tell me something, I go, you know what? I'm listening. What do you want to tell me? Am I doing something you don't think is right for me? Are you not trusting me today in my decisions? And I really tune in, and I'll say sometimes like, look, do you realize, I know you want to stop me from doing something, but do you realize that this pain is just really making things harder? So how about you take the pain away and I'll be kind to myself today or something, or, you know, I'll put myself first today instead of others. And I have learned to talk, to tune in and sort of check in with my nervous system. Yeah.
Beautiful. And I find that helps. Well, then let's rewind a second, because I know that you wrote something really awesome in your email to me, which was your terrible, awful resistance to the journaling. And then you hit bottom and you decided to do it, and then the results. So talk a little bit about that period of resistance and what was going on in your mind during that time and what led to you finally throwing your arms up and saying, fine, I'll do it.
Okay, so that's interesting, because I'd had this shoulder pain in one shoulder more than the other. And I was studying to become a hypnotherapist from London online. And that had been going for almost 2 years to become a clinical hypnotherapist. And so I needed to type and I needed to just push through. So I was ignoring the pain. And I was eventually, I couldn't keep weight training because the pain was getting so bad. So in the end, I stopped training. And I was just ignoring it. And I was just taking Panadol and paracetamol, that is, and tuning the pain out. I was just pushing it down and ignoring it. And then eventually, when I got the post-fibromyalgia, that just disabled me to the point where when I got into a chair, to have to get out would take me at least 10 minutes to get off a chair.
Right.
And to go from super healthy to feeling like that, it was just the frightening feeling that made me think I have to trust this process because it's all that I have. I don't have anything else to go with. And I just believed in my heart that I could overcome this because I had overcome very debilitating clinical depression when I was 38. And even though doctors told me I would be on medication for the rest of my life, I was off medication within 3 years. So I knew that if I found the right method and I just did it and committed to it, that I would be able to heal myself. So I did have that true belief, but at the same time, I didn't believe it. I thought, this sounds too easy to be true, but I'm just going to trust the process and I'm going to do it. So I would start with the writing, and then when the pain got worse, I'd think, oh, it's too hard. I'm creating more pain. And I would cry and I would get angry and I don't know if you've heard of talking to the empty chair, but I would sometimes pretend the person that had caused me so much pain. Yeah. That I would pretend they were sitting there and I would scream and yell at them. Of course, I was living alone at that point. I'd asked my fiance to move out and I was pretty angry at him too for lying to me. And I felt like an idiot. I felt stupid and I felt betrayed. And I was embarrassed about the fact that he'd sort of duped me. And I think that really tapped into the pain of my marriage. And so I was very hurt, and all that hurt and pain was inside me, and really no one else wants to listen to it. You can't go out on a social gathering and start talking about your pain because
it's hard.
The Debbie Downer at the table. So I decided to start journaling, and at first my shoulder started to hurt that much I couldn't actually write anymore. So I went to the doctor and I started with cortisone injections, and I put off and resisted the cortisone injection for 6 months. But when I finally had it, it did help with reducing the inflammation. And then the process of writing more and more, I actually had to talk into a recorder in the end because I couldn't write and I couldn't type. And in the end, texting was even hurting. So the pain was completely debilitating.
You know why that happens, right, Shelley?
Well,
I think it's funny because people tell me this all the time, that their pain gets worse when they start journaling. And it's like your body, your brain and your nervous system love you that much that literally they're going to send the pain and make it unbearable, because if you are to feel these feelings, it's truly perceived that you're going to die. Yeah. And I just think it's so fascinating the way it happens like that.
Yeah, I did read about that too. And I started to say to myself, look, you can deal with this. This is fine. It's just feelings. And it doesn't matter how much you cry and how much it hurts. It's just a feeling and it's going to pass. And of course, I've been practicing that all my life with meditation. I'd had thoughts that come in and let them just float out. But I don't think I'd ever really dug into the deep emotional pain that I was holding inside me. So I did start to notice if I journaled every day that my pain would just get too bad. So I worked out that twice a week worked for me, and I did start to notice these periods where the pain would go from an 8 down to about a 3 or 4. and I'd get super excited. And then, of course, every now and then there'd be a flare. And then I'd be trying to look for the reason there was a flare, like, did I eat gluten, or did I walk too far, or did I not rest enough? And then I thought, no, I'm not going to pay attention to that. I'm just going to keep doing the journaling twice a week, but I'm going to look for evidence of less pain. And the pain just reduced the more I relaxed myself. So I did find lots of relaxing meditations. I also made self-hypnosis tapes to instruct myself to be calm, to relax, that I was safe, and just to reassure myself and calm my nervous system. And I listened to those every night. I still do. And I just used everything that I could. And I enjoyed the Curable app. I thought that was great because I could carry it around with me everywhere. And I loved hearing the podcast, other people's recovery stories, because that actually gave me hope. Because I really, when I saw the rheumatologist, he basically said to me, well, you are, 56. And I said, what do you mean?
Right, he said, well, you are young.
You are getting older. He said, this might be just from all your arthritis. And I said, don't be ridiculous. I said, I've been a classically trained dancer until I was 16 and run, and we have the City to Surf here in Sydney. I said, I've done a lot of exercise in my life. I know what pain is. I said, this is not normal pain. And just to think that he was going to tell me that this is part of aging,
at 56.
I was pretty astounded. Yeah. I was really astounded that he was saying, maybe you should learn to put up with that. That was basically what he was saying. I have no pain most days. If I get a little bit of pain, it might be in my hands and wrists and fingers, which I do understand. I have a lot of arthritis in those areas and in my lower back and a bit in my neck. But literally, it's a 1 out of 10 if I get it. I don't have any of that severe pain anymore. If I have a really bad day, it might be a 2 out of 10, but I know it's going to go away, and I'll do the journaling and I'll tune into myself and have a talk to my brain and my nervous system.
So this is awesome. So I want to talk a little bit about something that you said that really caught my ear, which is you said, first I was doing the journaling every day and that felt like too much to me. So I did it 2 days a week. But then you said, and what I really did was everything I could to calm myself down. And yeah. I think what's so important for people to understand, because a lot of people ask me, a lot of people who get TMS are like A students, right? We're like, want to do it right. I want to make sure I'm doing it right. Do I have to do it every single day? Do I have to do it for the rest of my life? I get these questions a lot. Mm. The answer to everything is we got to calm ourselves down. For some people, the only way to calm your nervous system down is to journal every day, because there are so many big feelings in there that every time they spill over, the body goes into such sustained fight or flight that the pain signals are what they think is necessary. For some people, it is just important to not give it all their attention. Dan Buglio talks a lot about this, not giving it your energy, just saying, okay, whatever. If I'm painful today, so be it. If I'm not, so be it. One of the ways I like to say it is, however this goes, it's okay for me. And I know that that is such a hard space to get into. But what I love that you're saying is, if you can't get into that space of however this goes, it's okay for me, you certainly can get into the space of researching different kinds of meditations, researching just different kinds of breathing exercises, whatever it takes for you to calm down. Because the brain and the nervous system have only one way to get information, and that is from your perception and your consciousness. If you're scared, if you're angry, if you are trying to repress everything in order to not feel, that's where the input is coming from. But when you're calm and full of equanimity and okay, whatever, however it goes, that is the space of total peace, and that's the space of no pain. So I think that those are two really important things to realize, is that yes, the journaling, because we have to reduce that reservoir, and also whatever methods feel comfortable to calm you down, to make you realize you're not in danger, because danger is what the nervous system is responding to, you know?
Yeah, and I did start to think, like my mind was racing because the pain was so extreme. I thought, they're going to tell me I've got something like MS, like there is something. Because by this stage, I had the tinnitus and the pretty bad vertigo. Like a couple of times I'd fall when I got out of bed to go to the bathroom, I would fall with the vertigo. But I would go to a specialist that would tip my head a certain way and try and get the crystals out of the balance area of my middle ear, and I'd be fine for a while. But, you know, I couldn't do yoga or any of those things that I used to love anymore because I couldn't go upside down. But I had that, and then I developed these aural migraines after I broke off with my fiance. So this was TMS for sure looking back, but I had no idea back then. I started to lose my vision. So I'd never had headaches my whole life, never, luckily, never suffered with any headaches. And I started to get these mild headaches, but then my vision would begin to disappear. And that was really frightening.
I've gotten those. I talk about those on this podcast, yeah.
Yeah. And so when I'm reading all the books and everything about journal speak, I'm thinking, my God, I've got so much TMS. Like I'm the classic TMS person. And it was great to know that a lot of these things were going to go away or be reduced. And I have noticed that the tinnitus, I still have it, but it's very mild compared to what it was. And I basically hardly get any vertigo now. Like my balance is great. And I just feel like I have a sense of control. And I think that's been the best part of it is when you feel in control, you don't have the fear anymore. Mm-hmm. So that feeling of like, if something's wrong, I can fix it. Whereas when I was running around to doctors and they're saying, well, we can't really do anything, that actually made me more fearful. But once I gained that control back, I was like, okay, I've got these skills, I've got these resources, and I now, through journal speak, I have a process, and that's all I really needed to get well.
So let's talk a little bit about community. I know that you really got a lot out of the Facebook page. So can you tell us a little bit about how you used that and why it meant so much to you?
Yeah, I think I don't think I'd actually made a lot of posts myself. I think I reached out when I was felt crippled. And then I was reading other people's recovery stories and I thought, I have hope. It gave me hope. I thought, these people are getting well and I just need to trust this process. What have I got to lose? And I didn't want to dig up the past and all the pain of the past because I don't like to cry and get upset, and I didn't want to make my feelings any worse than they were. And while all this was going on and I broke up with my fiance and all of that, my very best friend, her husband committed suicide after came back from Afghanistan, but also she's now just recently passed from ovarian cancer. So I was catching up with her as my support person because she was really positive. She also had chronic pain and we were doing these things together. And then she got ovarian cancer and was dying. And then my daughter has had a child with multiple disabilities. So, and my son also was chronically unwell with chronic pain. So all of this stuff was happening at the one time. And I just felt completely overwhelmed. And I just thought at some point I'm putting too much stress on myself. I need to take care of myself. I need to calm myself. I need to tell myself, yes, my friends are dying, but I am safe. And yes, there's a pandemic on the way, but I'm safe. And but it has been very strange with all of that going on and then the pandemic on top. So now I've got my daughter and her partner and their son have only just moved in with me here in my home over the last 3 weeks because they were living in a very small apartment with their disabled child and had been in lockdown for 2 weeks. So I said, move into my place and you'll have more room. So there's been a lot going on, but now I know when the pain starts, I know to look after myself, to calm myself. I did find the Facebook, the best thing about the Facebook group is following people's recovery stories, and they would just support me. I'd say, this is how I'm feeling, and just getting those comments back, like that other people care.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to tell your family, I don't want to tell my children. I couldn't put my pain on them because they were struggling. My daughter was struggling with her new diagnosis of her child. He has two very rare syndromes, and we're told he's going to be blind by the time he's a teenager, and he may never walk or talk.
So sorry. I'm sorry.
All of these things were affecting me, but I couldn't express my pain and my sadness because I was trying to support her. And same with my son. My son was struggling with terrible chronic pain and had to move home and was in bed for days on end, and he was at the Prince of Wales Hospital, and I thought, I can't put my emotions first. I have to support my children. And so that's where the Facebook group, your Facebook group, was so amazing, because I could whinge and complain and other people understood how I was feeling and gave me little ideas of what to do, and, you know, try this, try that. And that was fantastic, just to have a space where I could download, I suppose.
That's amazing. One thing I say about people in chronic pain, and I know I felt this way certainly when I was going through it, the biggest thing is you feel so alone.
Yes.
You just feel so alone. You just feel like, you feel like such a burden, and you feel like you're the only person that has ever been this much of this much of this much of whatever you are. And I just love it. You know, when I pop into my group and there's thousands of people all like helping and talking, and it's just so great. So not a lot of people, when they write to me specifically, bring up the group and how important it is to them. And you did. So I wanted to make sure to ask you about that.
Yeah, it was just great to have that outlet and that supportive space where I didn't have to care what people thought of me. I could just say it how it really is, and I didn't have to feel that I was burdening someone else, because my mother was recovering from my father's death and I didn't want to burden her with my pain. She was already grieving. And I was grieving while she was grieving, and I was taking over or running their business. And, there was just so much at the one time. And it was no wonder that my brain at some point said, well, that's it. You're not going anywhere. You're just staying in bed, and you're going to look after yourself, because you just got to acknowledge all of this. And, yeah, and I had to learn to care for myself and put myself first and not put too much strain on myself too.
Yeah, and I find that to be really, really a common personality characteristic with people who get TMS, is that they tend to put everybody before themselves. And, you know, Gabor Maté writes a book called When the Body Says No. And I don't know if you heard of that one in your book reading travels. Have you heard of him?
I've heard of it, but I haven't read, and I haven't watched anything of his, but I have been told that he's fantastic, so I should do that too.
First of all, you're fine. And like, if you don't feel like doing this stuff anymore, you're forgiven. But if you do want to look at him, he's just wonderful. He's just wonderful. He talks about trauma. But, you know, the point of what we're saying, and I think we're really encompassing what it does, is when the body feels as if you consciously are not capable of making yourself your choice, it will choose you for you. But the way it chooses you is not the way you would want it to. It chooses
That's
you with
right.
pain. Yeah, because it slows you down by putting you in bed and putting you out of the big bad world that is triggering you into all these bad feelings. And I want people to hear that so loud and clear, because I know how many people are out there suffering, especially in the pandemic, especially feeling so isolated, that, you know, there's an answer. One of the last things you wrote in your email to me, Shelley, was, even if you don't have money, this is something you can do for yourself no matter what.
That's right. That's right. And I think the reason it was a wonderful education, and in a way, I suppose I'm thankful for the pain that I've learnt this lesson, because I never really believed, even though it was crazy, I was a meditation teacher, but I never really believed that I could use my mind to heal that level of pain. So I was amazed that I was able to turn it around. And I'm just grateful also that everything's got better. The tinnitus is barely there. The vertigo is barely there. And now I'm acknowledging, okay, if I get this, I know how to fix that. I've also had plantar fasciitis. So a lot of TMS things. I've been treated for anxiety in the past. I even was hospitalized when I was 38 with extreme anxiety. That was when I was getting divorced. So I was always a person that pushed down my emotions until I literally was disabled in some way. So firstly depression many years ago, and then eventually with pain.
It's such a common story. You know, it's funny because when I first did this podcast, I used to just say, you know, Jane's recovery story, or from chronic pain to freedom with Mary. You know, I would just, and then I realized I had to put actual names of diagnoses in the episode titles, because that's how people were finding the podcast, because people don't look up mind body medicine. People look up migraines or tinnitus or neuralgia or anxiety. They're looking up what they're looking to fix. And so I started figuring out that I had to put that in the title. And it's so funny, not funny, but I find it hilarious because I have had almost every symptom that people talk about on this podcast throughout my years, because that's what happens. I'm in the space of this work so much, so my body tries it out, and I breathe and I journal and I meditate and I let it pass through me, and it leaves every single time. But sometimes, in this situation, Shelley, people mention so many different afflictions, it's like I don't even know what to put in the title. But that happens all the time, because we're all just so lovely. We're all just human, and we're all just doing our best. And what the body will do is it will move from one symptom to another in order to protect us. It's so crazy. And I know people are so, it's so hard for people to believe, but that is literally a loving gesture from the body to, you know, move from shoulder pain to neuralgia to plantar fasciitis to anxiety to vertigo. Like it's trying to say, but wait a second, Shelley, are you sure? Are you sure you don't just need to lay down? Because we could do that, you know?
Yeah. And I think the real turning point was when the rheumatologist couldn't really help me. And I thought, well, I can't do any of the usual things. So, because when I'd had anxiety and depression, I used meditation and exercise to get well. And all of a sudden, I couldn't exercise because I was in so much pain. So the things that I used normally to get well, I literally wasn't able to use. So I couldn't take my fish oil supplements. I couldn't take any other supplements that I'd taken for pain. I literally couldn't eat for 2 days because I could not cut up something with a knife. I couldn't pick up a fork or spoon. I couldn't raise a glass. I had to get my son to buy paper cups because putting my hand around a glass and trying to pick it up was too painful. It was extreme pain. And to think that when I was in that much pain, they weren't going to give me any painkillers, I literally couldn't believe that. But also because I'm a fairly quiet person, maybe some people would have made a fuss and started yelling and saying, I just can't keep going without pain. But they said, we can't give you anything for pain because this autoimmune disease or these autoimmune bodies are attacking your liver. So you're just going to have to do it. And like probably normally, I would, if I was in pain, if I'd had a skiing accident or something, I'd just go down to the bar and have a glass of wine and think, oh, well, there you go. That'll take the edge off that. But of course, I couldn't drink. I wasn't allowed to drink any alcohol for 6 months when I had this. So all my little things that I would normally use, all my resources were taken away. So it was basically just I had journal speak and I had could barely move. So I found a guy called Lee Holden that does Qigong, and he just moves very, very slowly. And so every day I would do one of his free YouTube videos and just move my arms really, really slowly. And I was saying to my brain, see, you can move and it's safe to move. And I just sort of started reprogramming myself in that way, very, very slowly every day. But the rheumatologist did say, look, if this goes on much longer, you'll just get a fibromyalgia diagnosis and with chronic fatigue. And I did have fatigue with it.
And you really would just have every one of them then at that point.
Yeah, and eventually, oh, he also said, oh, you've probably got psoriatic arthritis because I do have psoriasis. So I was sort of being told maybe you have all these things, but we don't want to name it because we might be wrong. It could just be post-viral myalgia, but it lasted for 20 months until it's, but now I would call myself completely healed and completely well.
You know, I love you're very inspirational, and I really am excited to share this story because so many people suffer from so many of these things, and so many people feel really dark, you know, as the way you describe it. You couldn't even lift a cup to your mouth. You couldn't eat. And what I want people to kind of see in this story, if we're going to get a little spiritual just for a moment, because, you know, I can't resist, is look at the way it went for you. It was almost like a loving, larger energy was like, Shelly, I'm sorry, love, but I'm taking away every single one of your little crutches one by one because we're getting ready to give you the gift of your entire life back. And without getting as desperate as you got, without the wine, without the pills, without the, you know, exercise, without your freedom, you would not probably have been desperate enough to do this work. And now after doing it, you're totally recovered after basically a lifetime of TMS. And now you are a young spring chicken in your late 50s about to have the second half of your life brilliant and beautiful and free. So to me, that feels a little spiritual, you know?
Oh, definitely. And I'm almost thankful for the experience, even though it was horrific to have to go through. But look at the resources I now have that I can pass on to my family.
Yes, yes, because I'm sure your daughter will need these kind of tools because raising a disabled child is hard and it tears all your little heartstrings, you know, depending on what's going on and what a wonderful thing you'll be able to give to her.
Yes, and just supporting my son in his chronic pain journey. He will always have some sort of pain because there is a physical element to it, but he has learned to manage his pain and take it from like an 8 where he was bedridden for 3 days at a time and couldn't work for 6 months. He is now working a physical job as a tradesman, running his own business with 3 employees. Only, you know, 18 months ago, he was at home in bed, unable to work for 6 months. So he read all the books and he learned a lot of this through the chronic pain clinic at our local hospital. But it's a 6-month wait to get in there. And I thought, well, I'm not waiting. I'm going to go with Nicole's process and, yeah, heal myself. So I didn't have to go to the hospital. I think the only benefit of going to the hospital was normally they have groups, but because of the pandemic, there was no group work. So right. My son had to do it online anyway. So that's why, again, why your program and everything you offer is so good because we can do it from anywhere in the world. And I would love to be able to go to America and go to one of your retreats one day, but at the moment I just have to wait.
Yeah, I know. And I really, really hope one day to come to Australia. I've never been and I want to so badly. So all of that I'm putting into my goal basket, you know, for once the world is a little bit of a safer place.
Excellent. So, I'll show you around when you get here.
I can't wait. So Shelly, I ask the same question to every one of my success story interviewees. You're looking out on a sea of people that may be very, very desperate, may be in the darkest days of what you felt on your journey. What is a piece of advice you'd like to give people as they're beginning this process or as they're trying to muddle their way through?
Okay, I would like to say what have you got to lose? Trust this process. Give it a go. Even if you don't want to do it, do the work. If you can't do it every day, do it once a week, but commit to doing it. And I, you know, I said to myself, I'm going to give myself 6 months of doing this. And then before that, I was already seeing the results. So do the work, trust the process. Say, I'm just going to give this my time. What have I got to lose? And then look for the evidence and you will see that you're starting to heal. Just never give up. Get onto the Facebook group. I would definitely download Curable. It's got a lot of little meditations if you're feeling very frightened or anxious, or you're even, some people have panic attacks and they have little meditations you can do to get you through, because there are just some days you feel a bit desperate. Yeah, just keep following the process, keep doing the work. And I combined a few things. Like I did the Qigong and I told myself when I was moving my body that I was releasing the pain. I would get into the ocean. I had to sit in still water because I was in so much pain. I couldn't go into the surf. So I would sit down up to my neck in still water, freezing cold water, and tell myself I was releasing the pain into the ocean. I did use spiritual practices or using my mind really and saying, release the pain into the water. And I know that cold water is reduces inflammation. So I knew it could work on a physical level, but I was always also using it on a mental level and a sort of a spiritual connection that I believe in, that nature heals us.
Yeah,
I would say take a very slow walk. So when I first had the pain, I literally could not walk 100 meters. I couldn't even drive my car for a while. But once I could drive the car, I could walk a flat space. And then every few days I would try and walk a little bit longer. And I would say the movement of the body is helping oxygen to get into my body, because I wanted oxygen to be available to my tissues to help reduce pain. And I did have massages, even though I know that massages aren't necessarily going to stop the pain, but they do help me relax. And so I told myself that if I did the work, I would have a massage once every 2 weeks as a reward. So I would reward myself for doing the journaling, because I didn't like the journaling until I actually started to see the results. So slow walks. I did have a nap when I was tired and I was able to. So I was lucky that at that time I was working from home. So I was able to have a 1 hour nap if I needed it. And that extreme exhaustion probably lasted for about 18 months while the pain was very intense. I think extreme pain does make you tired.
Oh, yeah.
And so I would rest when I was tired. So I did all of that together. I listened to relax. There was a particular, it's called something like tranquilizing hypnosis or something on YouTube. And I listened to that a lot. And basically, it was a meditation where you imagine breathing in a color that was taking away the pain, and you would start at your toes and feel this color moving up in your body. And I found that the more I did that, the more control I had over numbing that pain. And that helped me to get to sleep at night, because just rolling over in bed was excruciating for a very long time. And I just used all those things that I could find together.
So I just want to kind of bring this all together for people as we're closing this conversation. So I'm just going to just kind of touch back on theory, which is when the nervous system is inflamed in fight or flight, which has to do with fearing the repressed emotions as the nervous system perceives your repressed emotional world and your stored trauma as a greater predator than your physical pain. And because life is a choice between what hurts and what hurts worse, if your nervous system thinks that your feelings and your trauma will kill you, it will choose the pain every single time. And you don't have a choice about that, because that is the way the human body keeps you alive. Because, of course, if woolly mammoth really were chasing you, your body would have to choose fight or flight, and that would be out of your survival. So all these things that Shelley is saying and all these things we've talked about today and all the things I always talk on about on this podcast are all to the same end, because this is not about the fact that she was able to do some hippy-dippy therapy talk, you know, envision a color through her body. She was literally visualizing in a way in which her nervous system was getting the message that she was safe. These are ways we actually affect our physical body, because I do think some people hear that kind of thing and just say, oh, well, that's just nonsense, you know, envisioning a color, what's that going to do for me? But when you guys realize that this is actually brain science, and when your brain is getting a message of safety, your pain signals stop firing. And so I always need to bring it back to the science, because I always have one ear for the skeptics, you know? It's important for me to do that. But Shelley, thank you so, so much for taking the time to be on the podcast today.
Thank you for inviting me. And I just hope that anyone listening trusts your process and starts journaling and just pushes through, because I do believe it works very, very well. And I'm glad that I found you and your process. And thank you for making it available, because at that time, like I said, I didn't have a lot of money, and it was wonderful to have all these free resources at a time where I was just feeling like no one knew how to help me. And then, you know, through all these books, I found you, and that was definitely the beginning of me getting well. And now I have these resources forever, so I'm very thankful.
Well, you are very, very welcome. It is my pleasure. It is my passion. It is my purpose. It is my life, and I love it. All right. Well, you guys, I hope you got a lot out of this conversation. I know I did. And if you are enjoying this podcast, I do ask you, if you wouldn't mind, to rate and review it on iTunes. It helps people like Shelley find the podcast. And until next time, this has been Nicole Sachs with the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.